Hi, and welcome back. We're still the Hogcast. I've been away for a little bit. I'm one of your hosts, Chuck Livingston.
Yep, and Logan Livingston here again, joined as well by our third host here.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Cole Beard.
That's Colby ringing in via satellite. They've just had a great weekend in St. Louis, Missouri. You know, it's kind of interesting. Yeah, we've been out of the mix since about November of 2015. Been a while. Been a lot of exciting times, and I think all of our lives. I'd hate to speak for somebody. I know I've had exciting stuff going on. Just a little bit about myself. I've moved. I'm no longer the sports editor of the Evening Times in Marion, Arkansas. I now work for Hootons Arkansas Football in Benton. I live in Little Rock, in an undisclosed location. That's pretty much it. So it's been kind of a transition. Excited to be here. Logan, what's new with you?
Pretty much the same. We got a house. I have a squatter now. Charlie alluded to that. Charlie now lives with us, which is kind of what sparked the Hogcast reunion. It's a lot easier to do when two of the three hosts live under the same roof. And again, we've got Colby obviously phoning in now. But yeah, so that's about it. We've adopted two more cats. So I've got two more cats there in the house. They're our studio audience for the show today. They're hanging out here. That's about it for me. I know Colby's probably been the most changed. Probably
100%. Colby, what's new in your side of the world?
Well, first of all, luckily, one of the requirements for being the Hogcast is not living in Logan's house. we'd probably be kicked out because in the last, about 18 months ago, we had a child. So definitely life changing. And there's a lot that goes in with that. But that's the biggest thing. And then we moved to BB. So.
Yeah, Colby actually sent us a picture earlier, and a little Royce, which is his son's name, he had him pinned up in like an Alcatraz style looking. He was
prison,
in a corner.
Man.
Yeah, it was a prison. So the young man was just trying to play with a shopping cart. And
well, the picture I was trying to show us, he was climbing on that little keyboard he had. And,
yeah,
and
so
I just got onto him because he climbed up and fell off of it.
He showed you the hole in your security. You're worried about him escaping.
Yeah.
He's climbing the wall like Spider-Man.
Walls,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, think about that. Maybe this is at some point you got to look in the mirror, Colby, when your infant security breaks down, I think. But anyway, as Logan talked about, we discussed it, and we really missed doing the show, and we missed interacting with all you folks, you know, and all the listeners that we had and Twitter followers and all that stuff. And we just figured, man, now's a good time to bring it back on the eve of the 2017 season. We're less than 3 weeks out. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, almost two and a half weeks out.
Yeah.
I think we're all going to the opener, Florida A&M.
We'll be there.
War Memorial Stadium. Logan finally got tickets.
Yeah, I was kind of worried. The Razorback Foundation was kind of shorting me, man. They finally sent the tickets in. I got them 2 days ago.
Saturday. It was yesterday.
Yesterday. Wow. Yeah, I was calling the ticket off and everything. I'm like, are we still actually having Little Rock games? Like, that's a whole other.
Of course, that's going to be
like, that's that Logan guy that I blocked.
I'm blocking his cell, too.
I get blocked. Yeah, here's a refund. You're not allowed to come to games anymore.
We're going
to
give you an extra 10% just so you don't gripe about it. But I'll buy them next time. That's my fault. Mm-hmm. But we're going. We're excited. You know, we still love the Hogs and, you know, always look forward to football season. And that's kind of what's been keeping us from doing the show the last, you know, 20 months or so. But now that we're back in the mix, I think now's a good time to sort of I guess let's look backwards here. I'm going to throw it to Colby and Logan here, and we're going to look back, unfortunately, on the 2016 season and sort of look ahead to the 2017 campaign. Let's start with Colby because you're the furthest away. And Colby, just what were your thoughts on 2016? What are your thoughts on 2017 now? And, you know, just let us know.
Well, I guess the first thing is the previous year, it was kind of, you know, Arkansas started off slow and then finished pretty strong, but it seemed like last year, you know, they beat TCU, which at the time seemed like a bigger win than it was. They beat a ranked Ole Miss team is actually on the Rewind on the SEC Network a couple of days ago, but they were ranked 10 at the time. So,
yeah.
I mean, it looked like two big wins are in the
fraudulent
season.
Fraudulent wins, though.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, they're probably a better team than their record showed. You know, Chad Kelly got hurt, you know, the last third of the season. So, I mean, not saying that they would have won 10 games, but they probably won, you know, 7 or 8.
Got a bowl game.
But, yeah, and then Arkansas kind of fell toward the end. I guess it's about the midway through the season. They win one, they lose one, win one, lose one, all the way. Then they lost, of course, their last two. But I think that was kind of a question mark for me anyways, because I thought, you know, they fixed their front end part and they were going to come on strong like they've always done, get better. I hope that's kind of the outlier of the Bielema reign here, but I guess we'll see this year, and that's kind of my outlook going in this year. I'm kind of wait and see because it seemed like Arkansas, the whole thing when Bielema got here for me is I figured it'd be a slow build, and I was willing to be patient, And so, you know, it was slowly getting better each year, and you felt like it was getting deeper. He was redshirting some players, and, you know, and last year a bunch of seniors, so you thought that was a year that they're going to finally kind of break through. It went a little backwards, so I'm hoping this year that, was, like I said, was an outlier, and this year it'll be another step forward, you know, maybe 8-9 wins.
Yeah, and you got to think about it. I mean, if we do take care of business against Missouri and Virginia Tech, it is a better – it's a step in the right direction. We just kind of – had a meltdown.
I mean, it's not 9 wins. I mean, I know you can say if ands, because there's a bunch of close games that could have lost, but, you know, they could realistically, I don't think that the team last year was that good. They could have easily won 9 games last year.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the one promising thing, too, about, you know, going forward. I think the SEC is getting a little bit weaker, like, from top to bottom. Like, you're still going to have Bama and stuff making it very top-heavy, but the rest of the field, I mean, like, who's to say Arkansas couldn't finish, you know, third in the West, you know? Because, I mean, nobody really stands out with Ole Miss kind of self-destructing. Mississippi State coming back down to earth a little bit since they lost Dak. A&M, they've kind of, you know, faltered down the stretch with Sumlin. So, but yeah, I mean, I feel pretty much the same way that Colby's feeling about it. You know, last year, you know, losing to Missouri and Virginia Tech after having big leads was demoralizing. It really was. I mean, that was hard for me to kind of get over. Really bad taste in my mouth because, you know, there had been improvements every year with Burt until this point. And, you know, to lose games like that against teams, especially Missouri. I mean, Virginia Tech, probably a better team than Arkansas, more talent, that they should have won that game. But it's the way you lost it. You know, you're up big at halftime. And a lot of mental errors, too. You know, the turnovers. And it's not the mental, like, you know, endurance that you would expect, you know, from a good coach to have. A well-coached team to have. So, that was kind of disheartening. And then Missouri, just in general, you can't lose to Missouri. I mean, they had like 3 wins before that game. I mean, that's a game you gotta win. So, but yeah, I guess our last episode, actually, I was talking to Chuck about this, was actually after the Hunter Heave. So a lot has actually changed. I mean, you know, you end that season on a high note, you know, going to Liberty Bowl, you know, getting these wins in, finally beating Missouri, which was good.
Which I can't believe we're saying right now. But
to going to where we were last year at the end of the year, losing to Missouri and Virginia Tech. And, you know, it is crazy, you know, because it's crazy how much the season changes with just those 2 games at the end of the year. You win those 2 games, or even if you just beat Missouri and then lose to Virginia Tech, even if you blow the huge lead, I feel like we feel a lot better about it. Because Virginia Tech was a tough draw. It was.
I think a lot of people expected to lose that game before the game ever started. Mm-hmm. I know I did. I thought it was an awful matchup. I was really dreading getting that bid. And then you play without Jeremy Sprinkle, who unfortunately did not play in the bowl game for
God.
You know, so it was kind of a disaster trip on the front end, you know. I think you were saying about the Hunter Heave. Not much has changed a lot.
Oh, no,
you just want to bring up the Hunter Heave again. I respect it.
I really did, because that was our last episode. I remember the last you know, that was the last episode, and we were all hyped up. You know, we had beaten LSU again, and then spoiled Ole Miss's SEC title hopes. Which
little did we know that was actually the play of the 4th and 25 was the high point of the Hugh Freeze era at Ole Miss. People forget that.
Yeah, people do forget that.
But
now for me, you know, Burt's got a lot of proof this year. I don't think there is any way he gets ran off this year, barring some kind of like 2-win, 3-win season, which will not happen. That's not on the table, I don't think.
There are too many wins, yeah.
No, there's too many wins on the table. But I do think it's a big year for him to prove himself as a coach, you know what I mean, and what he can do. Because, I mean, there's a lot of frustrated fans. I mean, even myself, really. You know, I still like Burt. I really do, and I think he can get it done. But, you know, he's really got to prove something this year. I mean, the conference isn't that tough this year. I mean, you look at his schedule. There's some winnable games here, quite a few of them. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean we're going to win them, but they're games that he should be able to compete in.
They're toss-ups or games that the Razorbacks should be favored in. I mean, you look at the schedule, and we'll get into this next week, I believe. I think, is that our
a week or two.
A week or two,
before
yeah.
Before the first game.
Yeah, before the first game, we're going to go on record. We're going to pick each game. We might go in like a courtroom setting, like Mr. Smith goes to Washington type stuff. And, all right, TCU, say, winner, you know, we haven't figured that out yet. We haven't figured the format out, but the big thing, my big takeaway from the 2016 season was some of the blowout losses against some of the better teams, which is not something that had been part of the Bielema repertoire so far in his career. Yeah, sure, his first year, the Razorbacks got ran out pretty often and get some pretty good teams, top 10 Alabama, top 10 South Carolina. But they also remained competitive in some of them as well. 2014, it was basically all close games except for the Auburn opener, which was also known as Milkshake Bet Number One.
Yeah.
You know, which spawned Milkshake Bet Number Two last year, which was TCU that Logan won. We're 1-1 all time in milkshake bets. The rubber match will probably be approaching this fall. In 15 was the same deal. They lost some games they shouldn't have lost. I think we can all agree on that. Yep. But none of them were, you know, just absolutely outclassed. Meanwhile, last year, you look ahead, every loss, aside from Missouri and I guess Virginia Tech, were just one-sided from the word go. Auburn was a complete bludgeoning.
Yeah.
And it was totally uncalled for.
Auburn and LSU. I think A&M we actually hung in. That game was close for a bit.
The final score is misleading. I'll agree with you. But it did spiral out of control.
But Auburn was a straight bludgeoning. It was like 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. I mean, that's...
It was 21-0 after three plays, I think.
It was crazy.
Now, again, I would remember more about that game. But Logan and Amaya's beloved Chicago Cubs won the NL pennant that night. Mm-hmm. So, being human nature, I think you tend to remember the good times over the bad times. Coach Bielema couldn't have picked a better time to no-show a road game than the night that the, I guess Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah, I wouldn't have, yeah, it wouldn't have mattered.
It wouldn't have mattered. It, you know, hard to, but I think that was the most troubling part for me because I think we all basically agreed and had a consensus that even if you don't win some of those key games, you're still in them, you're going to have a chance to win them.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, I didn't feel that was the case against the top teams. Your Alabamas, your LSUs, your Auburns. They got on them, and they got on pretty good the whole way. Yeah, you could say they moved the ball against Alabama. So that's what I'm looking at this year. Like, I want to tie them both together. 2017, I would like to see them be more competitive in some of these contests. You know, like, let's go to Alabama and, you know, lose by 10 or 14. You know, let's see what – let's see if they can push Auburn at home.
Yeah, and Burt has done that in the past. It just wasn't last year.
Right.
And a lot of that has to do with how atrocious the defense was. I mean, the offense, I mean, Auburn, everybody was bad. I mean, we only scored, what, 3 points in that game?
It was 56-3.
Yeah, that's bad. That's a bludgeoning. But, I mean, the defense, I mean, we couldn't stay in a game. We actually scored quite a bit against Bama. And, again, some of that was garbage time later or whatever. But, I mean, for us to move the ball on some of those teams was encouraging. And I think Enos has it figured out. Now, this year is going to be challenging losing as many weapons as we did. But just the defense in general last year, it was really hard for us to really, we had to score a lot of points just to stay in the game, any game.
I think a lot of that had to do with the mental aspect of the game. You know, it, I mean, you're talking about Jeremy Sprinkle not making the bowl game. You know, that was a bonehead decision. And then, you know, Drew Morgan got kicked out of the Virginia Tech game for, you know, apparently, you know, spitting on someone. And then also he made that mental, you know, if Arkansas scores first possession in the second half, they probably run away and win it. He tries to reach over the goal line, fumbles the ball, Virginia Tech gets the ball. And so, you know, I think it was things like that, you know, and I just don't think that the quite the in-house leadership they've had in the past. I heard an interview by Brooks Ellis after the season, and pretty much he alludes to some players not buying in. And the thing with football, you know, basketball, if you have one really good player, I mean, you still need all of the players to buy in, but you can still kind of carry a team. Football, if you have even one player that don't buy in, I mean, you're asking for trouble. You know, one person just breaks down or anything. I mean, you're going to be in a loads of trouble. And I think that's probably what happened. Multiple people didn't buy in. And, I mean, if you look at that Auburn game, it kind of seems like they kind of melted in pretty early, which is really uncharacteristic of Bielema teams because we haven't seen in the past, like Chuck and Logan were talking about, that, you know, it seems always, you know, even against Bama, they were close besides his first year.
I think some of that also is Malzahn also trying to get it up for
Burt. Sure.
And that's we definitely no-showed that game, no doubt about it. But
they did not.
They did not. And they especially after Burt beat him last year in that overtime game, Malzahn did not forget that. Did not.
Yeah, we like to joke about people forgetting sports things sometimes. Gus had that one marked for 364, whatever the amount of days was. I think he's doing like sit-ups, and every time he comes up, he looks at the calendar, and October or whatever it was just circled, and he's doing sit-ups, no shirt. And he's just looking, and he's like, all right, here's VG Day, Victory Gus Day, and he does like 1,000 sit-ups, right?
Well, you know, he was licking his chops looking at that defense, though.
No doubt.
He was just like, oh, man, we're going to put up a 60-burger today. He was probably mad when they only scored 56.
He's like crying like in the post game, and they're like, Coach, you just won by 53 points. It's one of the reasons he's like, yeah, I feel like we left some points out there, though. We blew some opportunities.
It kind of reminded me of, you know, like, you know, Nutt when he first was, you know, at Ole Miss. Trino's games. It's like he'd put all his eggs in that basket. And Auburn had a decent season, but it's like, you know, how much, if you would have saved some of that, you concentrate in some more games, you know, you might have won, you know, 110 games. I mean, I don't know, but with Nutt, it always seemed like that, you know, it kind of, he put all of his eggs in beating Arkansas basket, that was like his Super Bowl, and I kind of wondered a little bit with Miles on there as well. Just the way it seemed is definitely, you can tell, had that circle.
Yeah, and I understand. So, I do believe certain games mean more to certain coaches, and it does seem like the Gus Arkansas angle is one that's pretty prevalent, and he feels slighted probably. And, Arkansas, they need to be up for Auburn anyway, but, Gus has the extra angle that he needs anyway. But, Colby, earlier you referenced on the leadership angle. What do you think the vibe is so far after spring ball and into fall camp? I mean, have you gotten any impression that maybe that's improved? What's your take?
I think it's a 180 from, not only coaches, but the players. Bielema said, it started back in the fall, and it's continued to happen. He says the first year since at least he's been here that they haven't had a player late for any team meetings, any practices, and so I think that takes a lot. Santos Ramirez, and all the spring practices stayed with Coach Paul Rhodes and watched game film not only of the defensive backs but the whole defense. So he's kind of taking on a leadership role, and it seems like if any of the younger players do something wrong, the bigger or older players are kind of getting on to him, and definitely showing some leadership. So I think it's a 180. At least they're saying the right things, and it seems like they're practicing harder. And I don't know if that was in the past. You heard of some players being late for team meetings and practice and whatnot. So I think that definitely has an impact. Because if you're late in games, who are you going to depend on? And if the coaches can't depend on players showing on time for practice, remembering plays, and you really can't put them in there in key times.
Yeah, and one thing along with that, it's a little bit different, but I like what Bielema had a conference, it was earlier this week, I think, where he talked about, these senior players need to not feel safe, feel like they're already going to have the job. That's not something I've heard from Bert since he's been there, and I think that's really encouraging, because, if we have these young, these young players are going to push these seniors and these juniors and, compete for that time, so that was very encouraging to me, not from a leadership standpoint, but just from a general talent standpoint. So hopefully, because I know last year, all the receivers and stuff, that was kind of locked in. We knew who was going to play for the most part. But now, you got these transfers. You've got these young guys that are coming in.
Guys that have been in the program, yeah, that have been working hard.
Yeah, so, I think that's awesome. I think that's really encouraging. That's something different that we haven't seen yet, I don't think.
Yeah, and I'd listen to – he's mentioning twice. He mentioned about the offense, about some of the receivers. Basically, he said some of these other receivers, if they don't wake up and smell the coffee, they're going to get passed pretty quick. Because he's like, if these guys haven't been practicing for 14 practices and already picking up things, these guys haven't learned in 2 years, he's like, something's wrong. And then he said about the defense, I think it was yesterday or the day before, he was saying the same thing. He's like, hey, I had a meeting with all the older guys, and he basically said, hey, if y'all don't start doing things right, you're going to get passed. He's some really good players. He said, one thing, we're bringing better talent. So, yeah, I definitely think it's encouraging.
Yeah, I think holding guys accountable is the first thing. And I'm not saying that was a problem last year, but I can see where a guy that comes in and feels like he's earned his spot, he's earned his stripes, I'm a 2-year starter, I started last year, whatever. I'm not saying, I don't have any reason to believe that anybody did that. I think, again, just human nature tells you that, okay, if you feel like it's basically a given that you're going to play, you're going to start,
you're going to practice less hard.
Yeah.
You just are.
Yeah, you're relaxed a little bit.
Yeah, you're chilling.
And some guys can coast on that type of talent. Matt Jones was a guy that was notorious back in the day. Like, he doesn't practice real hard. He drives nuts and the guy's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be dogged if you're not turning it on and he's breaking 60-yard runs and outrunning safeties and whatnot.
But there's very, very few players
that's
like that.
That's the point. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. 100%. So, I think that's all very interesting. We had one more thing scheduled, Logan. What was the – we have about 3 minutes here. Well, what are we'll sort of tease going into next week. What are some I don't know. I don't guess we need to do that. I think we've hit on everything.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I think next week we're gonna probably talk about the offense and the defense kind of more in depth. This was kind of just like a teaser, getting the show back together, getting the gang back together. Kind of our thoughts on the state of the program and how we think it's going to go forward. We are trying a new shorter segment where it's only going to be like a 20-21 minute episodes. A little bit easier to digest. Charlie talks too much, so we're trying to keep him at a minimum. So we're trying that out.
Well, you're fired.
That's fine. I'm going to kick you out of here. You know you live with me now, right? Like
you got paid for this month. I'm not moving until September 1st.
September 1st.
It happens. I mean, hey, good luck enforcing that. I'll give you these hands.
Anyway, so I think next week what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the offense and defense, kind of what our personnel is like, who we expect some big things from next year.
Who we're looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, who we're looking forward to seeing. Then after that, we'll do predictions, and the season will be here, guys. It's coming in soon, so... thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, well, you can follow us on Twitter. We're The Hogcast. Mm-hmm. Facebook, we still have Facebook.
Yep, and TheHogcast.com. And on iTunes, The Hogcast. So.
Listen, we're The Hogcast all over. Google The Hogcast. We're going to be there. We're back this year, weekly episodes. Like Logan said, shorter format, 22 minutes. I'm one of your three co-hosts, Charles S. Livingston.
I guess I'm another one, Kobe.
Kobe, yeah.
And then I'm Logan. Charlie's going to make us do our little outros here.
Thanks for listening. Go Hogs.
Thanks for listening.